and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
On the air.
On the air again.
See, you know what I learned how to do with you, Dave?
What's that?
Not to trust you. I see it on the air in the light up on the wall.
Oh, okay. That's what you're looking at.
Well,
okay.
See, I can read. Okay. As long as it's more than three letters. The on air helps. Uh-oh. We got a guy with a tan just walked in.
That's my blood pressure.
Yeah, it's your boat. Don't tell me. I don't. Anyway.
Is Vince coming?
What happened?
Is Vince coming?
No.
How do I know? You ever call me and tell me you're coming?
No.
Okay. Well, 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. And so far, we have one other team member and a guest team member. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, just walked in the door. He's sitting down at Vince Rosino's chair. Vince is probably pretending he's working, you think, Mike?
Well, this is his off time, so I can't imagine him being all that busy.
He might be playing grandpa. You never know.
Or playing golf.
I don't think he plays. He doesn't play golf.
No.
You know.
I thought all accountants play golf.
You're right. Isn't that the that's the commercial on the tube for the dentist? You know, he's got the and extra whatever they are, and he's got the aquarium with the fish. You got to pay for that. The overhead, and he's got to go to the club and play golf. You got to pay for that, right? 1-888-221-8990. Okay, class, this is important. Write that number down. This is toll-free from any place. 888-221-8990. Right now we have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, here. We got Joe Martech, financial advisor. And we've got special guest team member, Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from the great state of Wisconsin. And Alan, is it true that the market did okay today?
The market went gangbusters today. The Dow was up over 500 points. The Standard & Poor 500 was up 1.9%. And NASDAQ Composite, the high techs, led the way up 2.6%. So the market is saying, we love the fact that we have split government again.
That's because the market loves gridlock.
Word for word, we were just talking about that, literally, gridlock.
You said that.
Meaning, they can't do yes, they can't do no, almost nothing happens.
Everything stays the same. That's what the market likes. They like to predict it.
They love it. Yeah. They love it. Hey, don't most of us in business love gridlock, though, truly? We know that we're not going to get in trouble, we're not going to lose, we're not going to gain.
Well, if nothing happens, it can't get much worse.
Yeah, that's true. And if nothing happens, but we've been going straight up now for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think, you know, here's what happened. At the beginning of this calendar year, Alan and I said, well, I'll bet you the S&P 500 will end up around 10% up for the year. He and I both agreed. Now, if you remember 2 years ago, we thought the market was going to collapse before Trump got in.
Yes, that's when you told me to pull out of the market.
Yes, and did you pull out?
Yes.
You're not very bright, Mick. Anyway, and literally what happens when it goes up 2 or 3% in one day, it doesn't take much to make it come up 10% for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a pretty much a flat year. Which does happen from time to time, because last year the S&P 500 was up around 19%.
19%, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it was odd, though. This morning, I don't know what happened. I didn't follow it throughout the day, but the 10-year T-bill was down this morning.
I don't understand how the correlation works. Do you?
Not anymore. I mean, it used to be when the stock market rallied, the bond market, you know, would fall off, so we'd get a higher yield.
Well, okay. Meaning that the price of the shares would go up,
correct?
And which gives, yeah. See, it's an exact reverse correlation that most people think. Stock market goes up, the value of bonds goes up, but people that own them already, let's say you own yours at 3 and it goes up to 3.5,
mm-hmm.
Well, nobody wants your 3,
right?
They want the 3.5, so you have to take a discount if you want to sell yours. So,
yep.
And I've told everybody alive, if they've been in bonds for the last 2 years. They should be shot for being that slow to get out.
Yeah. Well, money is liquid, and it flows from one market to the other. So
yep.
In times of insecurity, then money flows into the bond market.
Yep.
But usually when the stock market rallies, it's usually bad for interest rates.
Yep. Well, the second part of the coin is the Fed has been raising interest rates now at a quarter point every 3 months or so for up to a point from nothing to 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insignificant, most of us think, but the bottom line was it's a pattern, and when that happens, it adversely affects the bond market, meaning because bonds go up a little bit as the interest rates are go up, which means if you already own bonds, you're going down. So
what's your forecast now that we're past the elections, as far as interest rates?
I had Bulldog call me yesterday or the day before, said, Joe, what's going to happen? And I said, it's going to go up the day after. And he said, why? Makes no difference what happens. People will be relieved that it's over with.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, literally, they'll be relieved that it's over with. And I said, now, absolute utopia, conservatives take both houses and the market will soar. However, if the houses are split 50-50, meaning that one party has the Senate, one party has the House, that causes gridlock, meaning not much gets accomplished because getting the two groups to agree is going to be very difficult. It's never really worked. And most people that are in the market love gridlock because we know what's happening. We don't have to worry about what might happen. We know.
Yeah, because for the next 2 years, nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen. And then today, our president got on a press release. Did you listen to that at all today?
Which one? There was a couple of them.
He told the guy at CNN off.
Yeah, yes.
That was a good one. But he
because he was being rude.
Oh, man, big time, big time. And that's the president of the United States. I mean, and he was treating him like
dirt.
Yes.
Like dirt. Terrible. It really was.
I treat everybody with respect. And I think that should be with everybody.
It should be.
Yeah, everyone should have that.
But it was terrible. And then, you can't really hurt our president's feelings. I don't think he has any. But the bottom line was he just reamed that guy a pretty good one. But they asked him another question. He's trying to get along. He's saying he's going to get along, which everybody says at the midterms as far as history goes. You know, once you're in, hey, we're going to get along. We're going to make things happen. And one guy comes up and he says, well, what about if the Dems come back up and open up a can of worms and try to nail you to the wall, et cetera, et cetera? And he said, let them try. All-out war. Bam.
Well, I saw that Jeff Sessions was fired today.
Yeah, well, quote, he resigned.
Upon request.
Well, they didn't say that. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Upon request?
Yeah, it was requested.
Okay, because one of the reporters asked Trump that today. And he said, I'm looking at everything that's in the cabinet. It's not abnormal for people to make changes in midterm in the cabinet. Mm-hmm. And he had some statistics that showed that X number were changed.
I hear he's interviewing Bulldog for that position.
For Bulldog, yeah, yeah. I wish Bulldog listened to this show, too. He's not here, though. Well, you don't know who Bulldog is, but he's a client of ours, and he has used every single person on our group.
And there's a reason why they call him Bulldog.
And that is?
Because he's like a bulldog.
Boy, that was easy. Politics, we're not talking politics. We're not supposed to do that. This is it. So now we're talking Bulldog, which we're not talking politics.
Correct.
1-888-221-8990. We brought up the market. The market is doing extremely well. We think things are going to happen. That's good. Mike Paulus, Mortgage Brokers here. Alan, Love, guest, member, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin is here. Oh, by the way, Mike, have you ever had gefilte fish?
No, I have never had gefilte fish.
Tom and I agreed.
Is it like a smelt or something?
What it is, gefilte fish is boiled carp in a jar.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
and Alan over here was explaining that it's delicious. And
I said,
you've got to be born Hebrew, and it helps if you're born in Israel even more.
Well, we used to catch those carp in streams like in Philadelphia.
I know.
Oh, I don't think I'd eat one.
No, no. They're a bottom feeder, and they had the biggest mud vent. Anyway, no. Anyway, even my dog wouldn't eat them, but that's okay. Yeah. 1-888. We were picking on Alan.
Joe, you just proved that you shouldn't be writing menu descriptions for a living. That's one one profession you should not get into.
Well, like... Tom, we were talking to Tom, and I said, what about chitlins? He says, chitlins are better than gefilte fish.
If you put enough cheese on them, you can eat anything.
That's a rough group. All right, group, 888-221-8990. Back in 2004, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. That's a big word, independent, because he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for you, and as far as I'm concerned, he's the premier. And he's got probably 100 companies under his umbrella. What he's been able to do is help tons of people save money. He's helped Mike make sure people that wanted to buy a house and they could qualify for a mortgage,
Can I tell another success story for Dan Warren?
Sure.
I had a customer just the other day. They came in with a quote for homeowner's insurance on a property that we're closing on next week. And it was $2,700 for the homeowner's policy.
For the year, right.
So I said, well, let me just see if we can get you a better quote than that. So I sent it over to Dan's office. He's got a gal working there. Her name is Barbie. She's unbelievable.
I know Barbie.
Very good. Very well qualified. So she came back with a quote of $927, and that included a flood policy.
Less than half and better coverage.
And better coverage.
And that's what Dan's office does. And Mike and I both know that we love Dan like there's no tomorrow, because the way he operates is no wonder we love him. Because, one, he's only been 38 years or 39 years in business. Two, he is the premier agent on the Treasure Coast. And he's been help people all the way down to Broward County that have called in on the show. I mean, he's just done a magnificent job. Greg Fasula, attorney. Why do we have an attorney? Well, because we have to. No, that's not why. What happens is when I talk to new clients, new prospects, very often legal questions come up, and the most important ones are will and a trust. And if you don't have such a thing, in my not too humble opinion, you should, because if we die without such a vehicle, the state's got it all figured out, and your family's going to be unhappy because it could take 6 months or a year or even longer to settle your estate, whereas if you have the proper documentation, it can be done almost immediately. So the next thing is, when we have Greg Fasula, he's a good listener, he's not pretentious, he's not arrogant, he's just a flat good guy, and he helps people. I mean, I've had people go to him that said, okay, Greg, what do we owe you? And he says, nothing. Well, why not? Because you'll be back. Because whoever you were going to before just did not do the job for you.
Well, I found in the past that most attorneys are good listeners, and they'll listen all day long. Because the clock's running.
The clock's running, right.
And that's not what Greg does.
Greg doesn't do that. You know, he's not going to charge you to talk to him, and he's going to come up. Anyway, Greg is one of the better people alive, period. You know, it's just a magnificent person. Then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Hardest working person, I don't care about what business, That girl only has two speeds. She's working or sleeping. I don't know when she has time to eat, because she's probably working while she's eating. You know, I mean, she, yeah, and you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I've seen her driving around with eating lunch, too.
Yeah, yeah. She just does a magnificent job when it comes to real estate, which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and I'm going to ask you some questions in a minute after I talk about Vince Rosino, CPA, who's not here today. And Vince is not only a CPA, but he's also a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. What I look at in our group, we have six different people, and if we add up combined experience, it's roughly 200 years. So not that we know everything, but Dan, if he was sitting here, says one of the nice things about experience is it's an accumulation of mistakes. So what you've done is learn things by having that sharp stick in your eye a few times, and after a while you get tired of that stick. And
I don't think that's so true with Vince, because I don't think he makes mistakes.
Yeah, I think if you're a CPA, you're not allowed to make mistakes.
That is true. I'll tell you what, he came, a couple of years ago, actually on this show, he had mentioned the individual IRA, I'm sorry, individual 401k.
401k, right.
And that was for self-employed individuals.
Exactly.
And he gave me a good education, as well as most of our listeners. And I tell you what, that has saved me an incredible amount of money.
What happens, folks, just so you know, there's multiple different retirement programs available depending on what you qualify for. The traditional IRA, if you're under age 50, you can put $5,500 a year. If you're over 50, you can put $6,500 a year that you don't pay tax on now, and it can help you lower your taxes now. And when you take the money out later, after you're, say, retired, now you're going to be subject to your tax rate at that time, which most people's, when they retire, their incomes go down. So they may not have a problem. There's other forms, but what happens is, depending on what kind of occupation you have, you can save almost up to $50,000 a year and not pay tax on it, and putting it into these different vehicles that the government has rules for. So let's say you're in the real estate business, and right now the market's hot, and you make $500,000 one year. Well, all of a sudden you're going to pay $150,000 or more in tax. So if you can put some money aside into an IRA and not pay tax on it, because we all know that the real estate market will not always go up. We have some bad years, no different than the mortgage business, right?
No, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, one goes hand, which leads me.
Before we get off that subject. I had a borrower call me the other day, and they had a good question. They have a similar type of program. They have an individual 401k program, and they wanted to borrow against those funds.
Sure.
All right. Now, they were 57 years old. Now, I believe the rule is that you can borrow against that as long as you return the money within 5 years. Now, what happens if they don't return the money, and after the 5 years, they're over 59 and a half?
Good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer, but I would assume because they're over 59 and a half, it would then be able to be just subject to tax without the penalty. Mm-hmm. What he's leading to is if you take money out of retirement plans prior to age 59 and a half, the government says there's a 10% penalty plus the tax.
The tax, right.
On some of these programs, you can borrow money out and not pay tax on it, but you have to pay it back within this five-year period of time into that retirement plan. If you don't, you might be subject to the penalty and the tax, but you're definitely responsible for the tax if you don't pay it back, or in whatever portion you don't pay back.
Well, this individual wanted to take money out of the 401k plan. They were going to liquidate it and use it for a down payment on an investment property.
Right.
So I suggested they call the 401k plan, see if they can borrow against it, because that would defer that 10%.
Sure, of course.
And that by that time, when they would have to repay it, it would be past the 59 and a half mark, and they wouldn't have to pay the 10% penalty.
And did he tell you what happened?
They said it was a great idea, and they're looking into it.
Nice. Perfect. Because I don't know the answer either, but I'm just guessing that once you're past that magic number, that's the rule. There's the cutoff, 59 and a half. But that was a good counseling thing that you did for him, because cashing it in under 59 and a half was a 10% penalty plus the tax.
Yeah, because they were going to liquidate $60,000. That 10% penalty would have been $6,000.
Plus 20%, 30% tax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not what you call a good move.
Right.
But to borrow it, and then you've got 5 years to pay it back. Even if he didn't pay it all back, if he paid back half of it, then his tax load would be $10,000-$15,000.
Yeah, maybe. And his goal was to take an early retirement at that point, and his taxable income may be significantly different in 5 years versus what it is today.
So now, which leads me into a mortgage question.
Yes.
I know you have talked about these, mm-hmm. and you have talked about there are new mortgage plans, non-conforming mortgage plans, mm-hmm. that allow, let's say, a self-employed person to use not just their tax returns, but bank statements to qualify for the income to pay these, to qualify for the mortgage.
Yes.
How does that work?
These types of programs are mainly for self-employed borrowers. So if you have a business where maybe you take a lot of deductions on your tax returns, you're not showing a whole lot of taxable income, but you've run a lot of cash through your business. So if you have a lot of deposits going into your business, what we typically do, we'll ask for either 12 months or 24 months, depending on what program you're getting into. We'll look at all the deposits, and then we'll take a percentage of those deposits as your income. Typically, it's around 50%. So if you're running $200,000 worth of revenue through your business bank statements, we'll use $100,000, and that's your income.
Nice. Now, 12 to 24 months. So you just average out?
Well, we do have programs with significantly less. I have a program that will, if you have a self-prepared profit and loss statement from your business, and you can back it up with 2 months' worth of bank statements that reflects the cash flow for the business, and that supports the profit and loss, then we will use that for income. So we
only
have a
2 months.
Just 2 months.
Now, here comes the $64,000 question. Under all three circumstances, mm-hmm. 24 months, 12 months, or the 2 months,
right.
What? How much equity does the borrower have to have?
That depends.
I love that. This is like an attorney now, right? Depends on
your credit score and the transaction. If you're doing a purchase, we'll probably tend to go up to 90% on a program like that. So you'd have to put 10% down. If it's a refinance, we'd probably be looking at least 20% equity in the property. So we'll do 80% of the appraised value.
Now, you're talking primary residence, or does it work for second home or investment property also?
Well, that's for a primary residence and a second home. For investment properties, we have programs that are even a little bit more liberal. What we'll do is we'll take the rental income for that potential rental property, and as long as it's showing a positive cash flow, that's all we require.
Wow. So history, if you buy a piece of property that has the rental income already established.
No, actually what we'll use is we'll ask the appraiser to come up with the market rent for that property.
No kidding. Now, let me ask you a question. So if I buy a piece of property and I say, okay, it's a rental property, mm-hmm. and I get this good mortgage, then yes. I decide not to rent it. I decide to move into it.
No, you're going to sign an affidavit that says you're going to use it as a rental property.
Now, what happens if I don't do it?
They can call the loan doe.
Oh, well, then you don't do that.
And here's the reason why. Because back in 2014, part of the Dodd-Frank Act kicked in and said that if we are financing a property for primary residence or a second home, then you have to demonstrate the ability to repay that loan.
Okay.
So if you're getting into a no-income verification loan, that today in today's market, that's strictly for investment property.
Gotcha.
Yep.
But the
bank statement deal, that is for a primary residence or second home.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I've said this 1,000 times in my life, and Mike, and you've probably repeated it, Alan, I call it the golden rule, and that is he who has the gold rules. So whatever the rule is, you have to comply. Don't argue with it, because you're not going to get a loan if you don't comply with the rule.
Yeah, and basically, you know, that rule that makes us verify your income if you're buying a primary residence, that was set up as a protection device for the consumers, because there were a lot of lenders out there that were predatory lenders.
Sure.
They were lending money knowing the people couldn't pay it back, and they were stealing equity in the property by foreclosing on it. So it's meant for protection. Sometimes it's a great idea, and sometimes it's not. Because I'll give you a prime example. If you're a new retiree, where maybe you got a nice severance package, maybe you got $1 million when you retired, but that retirement severance package hasn't generated income for you, that doesn't qualify you to for a mortgage. It hasn't generated income, so we can't use it for you to qualify. Once that's established and it creates a revenue stream, either through dividends or interest or whatever, capital gains, etc., then we can use it. But I think a loan like that, we could, you know, we should be able to do that as a no-income verification loan, but we can't because it's a primary residence, and the rule says we have to verify your income.
So how long does it have to have documentation? A year, 2 years of let's say the here comes this guy?
For investment income like that, capital gains, interest, dividends, you're going to have to show me 2 years' tax returns. Gotcha. Where that, you know, you have an established history.
Rules, 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 right?
Yes.
There's only 7,000 rules to qualify, so are you going to remember them? No. But you got a guy like Mike that you can call and he can tell you how you qualify for whatever it might be within 5 minutes. You asking just a few questions.
Yeah,
of somebody.
I mean, sometimes I have to look up the guidelines because, like you said, there's a lot of rules and there's a lot of programs, and I don't claim to know all of them and all the.
They're not all stashed in the brain, right?
I can't keep track of them anymore. But
well, you know,
but I know where to look, and that's the important.
That's
part.
The important thing. Well, you know, when he's out on the boat, he's in the sun, you know, and that affects his brain a bit. Because you got a bald spot on the back of your head yet?
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
But I'm getting some gray though.
I noticed. I know that. Hey, this not getting younger stuff is easy. You just keep breathing. All of a sudden, you're one of them.
Mike, I know one of the things you do is you help people with their credit scores, and I've been seeing on television recently some of these infomercial commercials about we can help you repair your credit score. Is that a scam? What's going on there?
No, what a lot of these companies do is they use the credit reporting laws to repair your credit. It's like, for example, one of the most commonly used practices is what you'll dispute something on your credit report. Whether it's correct or not, if you dispute it, then the creditor who's reporting that information has to investigate that and respond within a certain time period. Well, if you're managing millions and millions of accounts, it's very hard to stop what you're doing and check that you know, that information or that documentation. So a lot of times they'll miss the cutoff, and then it'll drop off of your credit report. But usually that's only a temporary fix because the next time they report,
they can put it back on. But if you ran the credit report right then on the spot, then you'd know. And that. Right. But on very often, lenders, let me ask you this. Somebody applies for a loan today and they have a credit score. Don't they rerun it again just shortly before closing?
What we'll do is a refresh credit report.
Yeah.
And we won't repo the scores, but we'll look to see if anybody applied for any new credit during that processing period.
Sure, sure.
Because obviously if you take out a new Ferrari auto loan, that could affect your ability to qualify.
There you go. Because what happens is, folks, they use a ratio of income to debt. Let's say you make $100 a week and you spend $150. Guess what? You don't qualify for anything because you're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
So you've got to have this ability to pay, which means I have a $100 a week income and I've got a $400 a month payment. You don't make it because you have to eat.
Well, you know, when you're contemplating purchasing a house or getting a mortgage, the first thing you should do is just freeze all of your financials.
Yeah.
Okay, because you don't want to apply for anything. You don't want to change money around. You don't want to deposit any cash. That is always a problem when you're applying for a mortgage.
Rules, rules, rules. But that's what's what you got us for.
There's something else besides rules. They're called phone numbers. 888-221-8990 if you'd like to join the show. If you have a question for Joe or Mike or the other members of the team, Joe will get you in contact with them. Our toll-free number, 888-221-8990. Locally, 772-221-1100.
Bottom line, folks, we're here to help this no matter what. Remember, we got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Victoria Lloyd, REMAX of Stewart, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, Joe Martek, financial advisor, and Vince Rosino, CPA. So we're here to answer questions, help you. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, when you call in, you just tell Pastor Jonathan, who's answering calls, hey, I don't want to talk to him on the radio, but have one of them call me back when you, whatever the question might be, and we'll do our best to get back to you. Now, just so you know, anybody that ever, if we missed you, it's only because we're not perfect.
We're not? Oh, I thought you were perfect.
No, only wives are perfect.
It's amazing why you didn't keep any then.
That's exactly why. So the key thing I'm trying to say is that we're here to help, and we never, ever purposely not talk to somebody. We try very hard to make sure we talk to everybody, but sometimes we write the phone number down wrong. Who knows what we've done? But, hey, as I've said only 1,000 times, last time I walked on water, it was frozen.
And you fell.
Yeah. You don't walk on thin ice, guys. Let me tell you, I've tried that as a kid. Remember, up north, thin ice was not a good thing.
Yes.
I did get a few dampnesses in my life, and I'm sure, Alan, you did too. Wisconsin had some ice.
Yes, Wisconsin, Michigan, pretty similar in climate.
Yeah, we had lots of it. 888-221-8990, toll free from any place. 888-221-8990. So we understand the mortgage business right now. Interest rates are still hovering, give or take, around 5%, are they not?
It depends on your qualifications, but I would say they're probably closer to 5 to 5.25.
As for 30, or what about 15?
About 0.5% lower. Okay. They're probably in the mid to upper fours. See, nowadays, interest rates are influenced by your credit score and your down payment, too.
Right,
so it's going to be different for every borrower out there.
Speaking of which, when I was asking you at the beginning of the show about the non-qualifying mortgages, when it's based on tax returns and or bank statements, mm-hmm. interest rates, how much higher are they than, let's just say, the traditional Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac straight ones?
I would say they're going to be, again, they're going to be dependent on your qualifications,
right.
too, but in general, you're probably looking in the mid-sixes.
It's only about a point or so more.
No, those programs tend to be adjustable rate mortgages.
Okay.
But they're long-term adjustables. Most of them are 5 years, seven years.
Are they tied to T-bills adjustment?
LIBOR.
LIBOR still?
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, you'll never understand this because none of us understand it either. LIBOR is the London
Interbank Offering Rate,
which has nothing to do with America.
And they keep saying it's going to go away.
I know, but they're still
retiring that.
Yeah, but guess what? It hasn't happened.
No.
Now, they've been saying that now for how many years? Yes.
I think we're getting closer to it, though.
We're getting close to the end of the world, too, but we don't know when that is.
Well, the reason I say that is now some of our adjustable rate mortgage disclosures that we have to give out are starting to print the alternate.
Oh, really?
Index.
What are they?
That it could switch to. I don't quite understand it. It's one that they created.
Oh, a new
index. Specific for that.
Oh, and how they calculate it, they don't give you that. They just give you a name of the index.
I don't know much about it yet.
Yeah, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Listen, we all know the rule of life. If it works, change it. To me, grocery stores are the greatest example of that. You walk in the grocery store, you know where everything is on which aisle. So what do? They change it. That way it aggravates you so you can't find anything.
Yeah. Well, that's why you keep going back to the same supermarket so you can know where everything is.
Yeah, but then they change that market. Then what good's that do you?
I only notice it when they change West Marine.
Right.
Because then I can't find anything.
Mike, I've got a question for you regarding reverse mortgages.
Yes.
Here's a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Married couple, 65 years old. They both just retired. They have $200,000. They want to buy a home with that $200,000 as their primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
They also want income. Can they buy that home, pay cash for it, and immediately get a reverse mortgage?
They can, but probably what I would suggest is you can use, and most people don't realize this, you can use a reverse mortgage to purchase the house. So if you wanted to, say, buy a $200,000 house and you had $200,000 in cash, you can just simply put down $100,000 and take a reverse mortgage for the remaining $100,000. And then you can invest your leftover $100,000 into some kind of investment that pays you some kind of annuity.
The key thing, what he's just saying simply, is this. You have no payment that you have to make on the reverse mortgage. So $200,000 house, $100,000 down. You have to be over age 62. You get a $100,000 reverse mortgage, means you don't have to make a payment.
Mm-hmm.
You now take that $100,000 and do some kind of investment. Let's say you made 5% on it. That's $5,000 a year. So you're picking up basically $100 a week. worth of income, and you have no mortgage payment.
Right.
It's the great. I think that reverse mortgage is the greatest thing since chocolate milk. I love them.
That's the way I would suggest it, because if you're newly retired and you have $200,000, you might not have sufficient income to qualify for a mortgage. So that would be a really good alternative. You could just get a $100,000 reverse mortgage, put $100,000 in cash.
Let's say you and a wife both get Social Security and you get $3,000 a month just in Social Security. Again, you may not qualify, but now you've picked up another $100 a week or $5,000 a year on top of it without a mortgage payment. All you have to do is pay your taxes and insurance, and if you have no other debt, you can probably live pretty decent.
Sure.
Well, I agree with you for the most part, Joe, but I think a reverse mortgage is the best thing, not since chocolate milk, but since gefilte fish.
First, anybody here that has had gefilte fish other than our messy Jew over here, which Alan Love is a messianic Jew, and I call him our messy Jew, which means he is a Jew by birth, and he was a card-carrying synagogue. He even taught people how to breaststroke in the synagogue.
Go back to the June archives, folks.
And then he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior some years ago, so he's a messianic Jew. But we were picking on him, Pastor Tom and I, earlier today, because we have had gefilte fish, and we agreed never again. The thing with gefilte fish, it only stays with you for 3 years after you have it. You know, you can't shake it.
You can probably keep it on the shelf for 10 years, though, right?
Well, it's like Twinkies, Hostess Twinkies, right?
Gefilte fish is like WCNO. You don't know if you like it until you try it. When you try it, you like it.
Oh, hey, listen, we will buy that. You just bring some in here, and I want to watch you eat it first, and then if remember, Pastor Tom is allergic to perfumes and certain odors. If we lose Pastor Tom, 1-888-221-8990. Now, remember this, if just as Mike was explaining, and we didn't go into it heavily, but you have to be at least 62 years old, the youngest of the husband and wife, if you're married. Cannot be any younger than 62, am I right?
No, they changed that rule.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Here, something works, let's change it.
No, actually, now if you're going for a standard reverse mortgage, and that's one that's backed by HUD, an FHA a reverse mortgage, the only one of the spouses has to be 62. The other spouse could be younger than that.
Wow.
Now, when we do the calculation on how much we'll lend you, we will use the younger spouse. So that could reduce what we'll lend.
Yeah, there you go.
Because what happens is if the older spouse passes on,
right,
then the younger spouse can remain in the property.
Sure.
So obviously, if they're younger, they're expected to have a longer life. And therefore, more interest is going to accumulate on that loan. So, you know, we might not do 50%, we might do 40%, depending on the age.
So let's just say we have a single spouse at 70.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a 60% ratio, give or take?
Probably about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Does that percentage change every year based on your age when you apply?
Yes, it sure does.
Okay.
Yep.
So whatever the numbers are, the numbers are.
Now, it goes up a little bit.
Does the government change these numbers from time to time or no?
Oh, yeah. After the recession, they've cut back quite a bit.
Naturally.
Yep.
Let me take a call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Very good. Is this Dottie?
Yes.
How's that for remembering a voice?
Very good. Very good.
Ask a question. What do you have?
I have a question, and this is the question. I'm 66 years old. I'm in fairly good health. I decided not to take my Social Security at this time. I'm going to wait because I know that for every year that I wait, I will accumulate 8% of my Social Security, 8% each year, okay?
Right.
So my question is this. I know from time to time I've heard it mentioned that the Social Security age might change from 66 to 70.
Not necessarily. Here's the way it works. Today, in order to get what they call full benefits, you have to be 66 in a month or three or five, and I don't remember what. Each year, that magic full benefit age appears to go up a few weeks or a month or whatever it might be. So once you reach this magic number of 66 and whatever it might be, that's your full retirement age. From that point on, you can wait till you're 70 to take it, and your benefit supposedly goes up 8% a year. So let's say you were going to get $2,000 a month at 66. You wait until 67, you'll get an extra 8%, or another, would that be $160?
Correct, yeah. Yes.
And then each year after that, it would keep going up until you reach 70. And then after that, I don't think there's any more escalation.
No, there isn't.
So, but obviously, you, just because you don't take it at 66 does not mean they're going to penalize you each year going up, you know, because you've already reached retirement age.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Wait, when did you get this old? I thought, I remembered you as a young woman.
It happens.
Dottie, I haven't picked on you for a long time, but thanks for calling in, and I hope that answered the question for you and other people, too.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The only question on that 8% is whether it's compounding or not. Do you get $160 a year, or does it compound based upon...
You know, and I don't know the answer.
And I don't either. It's something we should find out.
Either way, it's an insignificant thing when you're thinking 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, true.
But the bottom line is, you know, Dan, I was talking to Dan today. He's going to wait at least 70 to take his Social Security because he's working and he's going to keep working and he's making good money. So he just can't think of a reason other than the fact he might drop dead at 71. And then
I don't know. I think while it's there, you better take it.
Well, yeah. I know people that did it at 62 for the same thing. There's a calculation if you plug it into the computer. And if you take it at 62 rather than 66 and you only live to be 70, well, you lost money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you live to be 80, you won. But there's a magic number where the cutoff is.
Yeah.
So, but the key thing with this is if you're working and you take Social Security and you're not at full retirement age, which is 66 and something, the government says you're only allowed to make $17,000 a year, and if you make over that, every dollar you make over that, you may have to give back half a dollar of your Social Security benefit.
But is that only if you take it early?
Only if you take
it
early.
Right.
Once you go to your full retirement age, 66 and whatever it is, you can make $1 million a minute, and there's no penalty.
Right. Then it just becomes regular tax on it.
It's all been subject to tax. Now, there's a code in how they calculate the tax on Social Security. It's not the same as on income. They don't calculate all of the Social Security income until you make
a certain
amount of money. Mm. Now, I don't know all the calculation, but the bottom line is, because we change the rules every year anyway, but that's why we have Vince Rosino when we need to know what the calculations might be.
All I know is once they start giving it to me, it's really hard for them to stop it. So I think you ought to take it.
Well, I but not at 62.
No, I agree with that.
If you're working...
Once you're retired, though, I think you...
Oh.
I mean, once you hit that 66...
Dan says no, but I said, so Dan, I don't know, but here's the key. If he's making, let's just say, too much money that he figures he'll calculate more tax...
Yeah, if it puts you in the next tax bracket.
There comes the problem, because if you can, 85% of your Social Security income can be added to your income, and then the tax brackets can be calculated. And I'm sure when he's going to do, because Dan's not 65 yet, so when he hits 66 in a month or seven, whenever it is, he'll be sitting down with Vince or somebody to do the calculation.
Well, he's not allowed to retire until I retire. Because I need him.
That's Vince.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Dan.
No, we got Barbie in there. As long as she stays, we're okay.
Okay.
At Dan's office. 1-888-221-8990. And for those people that don't know, when Dottie called in, she's been a client now for a good while. And Dottie's one hardworking, and she's a very, very... mathematical person, and she's going to calculate the best things for her, and she's a real study, a student of making sure that she's doing what's best in her best interest.
Right.
That's why we're talking about it here. When do you take Social Security? Well, it depends. What? One, how long you're going to live? Well, that's not a good question because we don't know that one. Mm-hmm. But the second one is, what's your income going to be? Because it's $17,000, I think, in a few, $17,500, whatever you can earn today if you take Social Security early. And if you earn, say, $30,000, you've shot yourself in the foot because you might have to give it all back.
True.
Let me take another call. Caller, Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Yes, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Or evening, I should say.
Close enough, right?
Yes. I have a, I guess, basic question. My husband and I, we were looking into the Social Security statements. You know, you can go online now and look at what you have accumulated and what you're eligible for.
Right.
And I'm a little bit confused. It does state, like, how much, if you pass away, how much your spouse would get or your children and so forth. But my question is, if I were to pass away today, and I'm only 51, when will my husband be eligible to receive my Social Security, per se?
Now, how old is your husband?
My husband is 11 years younger than I.
Guess what? Don't pass away for a while because he can't get much for a long time. I think, now I'm not 100% on this, but I think you have to be 60 to get the spousal benefit.
And that goes either way, right?
Or, so let's get rid of him now because you're older and when he dies at 50 and you're 60, now you might be able to qualify for a spousal benefit for him, and then you can take that benefit and not take your own, and then later on down the road when you hit 70, if your benefit is higher, you might be able to take that. The way Social Security...
See, that's confusing because, I mean, it's not that you get both of them. It's you get either or.
Exactly. Right? You don't get both ever. You can only have one. But the key thing that happens is, unless you knock him off and bump him off, we don't know when that's going to happen. So the key thing you want to do is not worry about it too much until it happens, and then... you make an appointment with Social Security. Alan's laughing over here. We're not supposed to bump off our spouse to get a paycheck.
It is a Christian station.
No, not at all.
It's not the Christian thing to do.
We all agree it's not a good idea.
Yeah, God might not like it either. So, you know, it's just there's a few things that are not good here besides going to jail. Anyway, the key thing is that let's say it happened to you whenever the time is. After the grieving period, you know, like the next day or two, then
he said a day or two. Wow.
Okay. Well, maybe one day. Anyway, you call the Social Security office, make an appointment. Now, this is a big deal. Whenever you go visit Social Security, don't just walk in, because you may sit there for 2 hours because there might be 50 people. But if you make an appointment ahead of time. My experience has been phenomenal. They take you in within less than 5 minutes. And you also know ahead of time who you are with Social Security numbers and the thing, so they will have all the numbers ready for you and all the different scenarios. They're very, very, very cooperative. So whether this...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Whether this works for you, let's assume you're not going to knock them off, that you're going to stay married, but you know somebody else who might lose a spouse, you might be able to guide them. But the most important thing is you tell them, make an appointment with the local Social Security office, and they'll ask the questions on the phone, and they'll be all ready for whoever it is when they come in and be able to answer the questions. I have gone with a few clients and just been unbelievably impressed with the thoroughness and the cooperation from the Social Security Administration.
Oh, okay. Well, that's refreshing. That's good to know.
Yep.
Because I know when things like that do happen, I mean, it's chaotic. You know, your emotions are all over the place, and
at least for 1 or 2 days, right?
So we were just kind of reviewing each other's statements, and we were just a bit confused. And I'm like, I kept telling him, honey, I don't know. If I die before you, I don't know if you get my Social Security. It only says if you were taking care of, you know, our child is underage, I think. But other than that, no, I think you have to keep working.
The key thing is, and I'm not 100% on this, but I'm pretty sure that there's this magic number called 60. And and I'm not positive how long you're supposed to be married. If you're divorced, it's a whole different ballgame. But if you're married and your spouse dies, there is a spousal benefit, I know for sure. But what the cutoff number is, I don't know. But also, the Social Security Administration, very often, they have a phone number. Going online doesn't, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to navigate. For whatever reason, the government's web pages are not as easy as if you and I were designing one. It seems to me they want to make it difficult.
I believe they have an automated phone system.
You have an automated phone system?
Yeah, I think that you can plug in your information and it'll give you verbal information right over the phone.
That's perfect. You see, so look, if you go on site and see the phone number, that's the wisest thing to do, and they may be able to do it with a verbal questions and get back that information to you. So anyway, as I said, the government has, they may not be easy to deal with, but they've been very cooperative once you get through to the right person, and they are very, very, very good.
They're very, they
well,
have
thank
a lot
you
of
very much.
Say.
I'll go ahead and add that to the to-do list if somebody gets bumped off.
Yes. Even if they die by natural causes, you never know.
And we have some
okay,
tough
thank
listeners.
You guys. God bless.
Thank you so much. Bless you too. Yeah, it's I joke about it. We're not suggesting you bump them off, but the bottom line was the benefit is probably still there even if you do. I don't
once you
know.
Get out. Once you get out.
Once you get out of jail, right? Probably.
If you get out of jail.
If you get out. I wonder if the jail takes the money, if the government takes it from you if you go to jail. I bet you they
do. I don't know. I don't want to find out.
I don't want to find out either.
That would be a desperate person to bump somebody off for Social Security income.
I'm telling you,
man.
We keep talking like this. We should change the name of the show to Adventure Time with Team Marta.
1-888-221-8990. Toll free from any place. 888-221-8990. But that was, I've had, in fact, I was with a client today whose husband did die tragically in an accident, and she is 61, and she is collecting a Social Security benefit, widow's benefit.
Yeah.
I did not ask her if she had to be 60, but it seems someplace in the back of my head, Mike, there was something like if you're married for 3 years and you're both 25 and one dies, I don't think you can collect a Social Security benefit as a spousal benefit.
No.
But there is a child support benefit that is pretty substantial if you have a child and a spouse dies. That the Social Security does pay a spousal benefit or a child support benefit.
Yeah,
they do.
Unfortunately, I see that quite often in the mortgage business, and we're permitted to use that as income to help qualify for
and
property.
It could. In fact, I had a client of mine this week that came in, and she did apply, and she's got the benefit, and her deceased husband died, and she qualifies because she has a daughter that's 10 or 11 years old, so she's now going to collect no longer child support because he's gone, but a child benefit, which is the same as child support, basically, that comes out of Social Security. So a lot of people get upset with Social Security saying, hey, I'm never going to collect if I die, but there are benefits that Social Security pays, not just when you're old. It pays a benefit for some people that are on disability. It pays for benefits for deceased spouses or for child support for that. There's a whole lot of good things that can happen. 1-888-221-8990. We're winding down, but we probably have time for another caller or two if you can sneak in.
Well, I've got a question for Mike. Mike, let's say a young couple buying their first home, and let's say everything is all set. The closing, let's say, is November 20th, and you get a call on November 15th that one of the spouses has died. Is the other spouse bound by that closing, or is there a provision to get out of?
That's a better question for an attorney because that's contract law. But what happens in most contracts is there's a financing contingency in the contract. That means that the borrowers will buy the house if they're approved for a mortgage. Now, obviously, if one of the spouses passes on and we were relying on that income to qualify, that remaining borrower may no longer qualify. So in that situation, they would be declined for the mortgage and therefore out of the contract. But it really depends on the scenario.
See, the contract law, back again, Mr. Attorney, if there's a contract buy-sell agreement. Now, normally, I'm if they use a standard realtor contract, I'm sure it has some clauses in there to protect. Let me take another call. We got 3 minutes left. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm old, but other than that, I'm fine.
Okay. I have a quick question for you, see if you can help me. I am a widow, okay?
Okay.
And then I remarry.
Okay.
And I'm divorced now.
Okay.
Okay, I married, so I'm a widow, I remarry, I divorced for 3 years. And in the meantime, I lose the social security for my first husband because I remarry. And now I am divorced. Can I apply for receiving his social security?
How long were you married to the first husband?
17 years.
You might be able to. You know, I'm not 100% on that, but I have heard of circumstances where I think there was a 9-year minimum number or 10 years, whatever it might be. You might be able to.
Okay.
I would do this. I would call the Social Security Administration and give them your Social Security number, date of birth, all that stuff. They'll ask you over the phone, and they will help you over the phone. And if not, be that you can make an appointment and go see them. But there's a good possibility you can get that benefit.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
There's also a moral to this story. Don't get married again.
No, I don't.
I'm just picking on you because you're the last caller. And who else can I pick on? Nobody here listening to me anymore.
How lucky you are.
You have a wonderful day. I hope we helped you. And if we can help you anytime, you know, give us a call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. That's my understanding is that... you do lose that benefit if you get married, but on the other hand, if you go back, you might be able to pick it back up as long as you were married long enough with a deceased spouse. Anyway, hey.
I believe the limit's 10 years, Joe.
Huh?
10 years.
10 years is the normal thing I remember, but this is not my strength. No, the key is you call Social Security Administration, make an appointment, go see them, or give them the information over the phone.
I don't see the relevance of why it would matter if he got remarried.
Are you using logic again? This is, look, Mike, this is like marriage. There is no logic.
That's why I think you should take the Social Security and run.
The only logical thing to do is to say goodnight to everybody.
888-221-8990. We're out of time. Give us a call. Take a message. We'll get back to you. Thank you so much for your calls. And until next week, adios.
Never been a sinner, I never sin. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up in the spirit in the sky. Whoa, set me up.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.
I come boldly, trusting only your redeeming love. Flowing freely from your side now, your atoning blood. Like a river, like a fountain, like a a cleansing flood. I pour out my worship to you for your redeeming love.